This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
We are ready to go this evening. We've got a great crowd. Hopefully we will have a one or two of these misfits wander up as we go throughout the evening tonight. But we're thrilled to be here with you. Happy you joined us tonight at your local liberal resistance headquarters, mobile resistance headquarters in tonight's case. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to reach us, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, we've got a couple of announcements of events coming up later this month. On Thursday, the 17th, the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party is coming up at the Wichita Area Builders Association. Their guest is via Zoom, former General Michael Flynn will be joining them. And later on, towards the end of the month, the Turning Points USA chapter at Wichita State University is hosting a Starlight Drive-In on April the 24th at 7, a night at the drive of Daily Wire's movie Identity Crisis is showing at Starlight Drive-In. Information on both of those events is also available on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Great show for you tonight. Hopefully, again, we'll have some of the sorted riffraff hanging out with us here live. Of course, coming up here in just a few minutes, Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach will update us on his recent successes in federal court and how Kansas is one of the first states in the nation to deputize state law enforcement agents to work with Immigration and Customs Enforcement to remove criminal aliens from Kansas. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu will kick off our 8 o'clock hour, bring us an update from City Hall, and discuss this week's announcement that City Manager Bob Layton is retiring and why she feels that the non-elected position plays an outsized role as the leader of our city. Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will preview next week's veto session. We'll talk with Representative Pat Proctor about his announcement that he's running for Secretary of State. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a great show planned for you. And, of course, as folks keep coming over here to the fire pit, we'll make sure to grab some for you. I want to start, as I always do, with some commentary. And tonight's is kind of a little bit about what we've seen, particularly over the last few weeks and even this weekend. We've seen some of these radical left-wing activists protesting. They've been encouraged by Democrat leaders and the media to target Tesla owners and dealerships across the country in order to incite fear and destruction, frankly, all because they don't like Elon Musk, they don't like Donald Trump, they don't like MAGA, they don't like you. And how these attacks are meant to target Elon, but frankly, they're ruining the lives of everyday Americans. Many of us have seen the story of Abigail Gills. She's a young disabled woman from right here in Wichita who had her Tesla keyed by a radical leftist, resulting in thousands of dollars worth of damage. This pajama-wearing bearded leftist keyed her car at an Olive Garden out here on the west side of town. And these are the same folks protesting at Nafziger Park every Saturday, by the way, calling Elon and Donald Trump and Republicans and MAGA voters Nazis and fascists, all, of course, while preaching tolerance, inclusion, and love. And ever since Elon Musk joined President Trump's team and was appointed to head up Doge, the left has not been happy. Democrats refuse to condemn the terrorism targeting Americans. The same folks who are quick to bring up January 6th and cry insurrection every chance they get consider these attacks more acts of peaceful protest or civil disobedience. Boycotts and peaceful protests are part of American history, and disgruntled Tesla owners are well within their rights to sell their cars. Keep in mind, these were once, coveted for their, cutting-edge cool factor. The electric vehicles were virtue signals. Even Ocasio-Cortez bought one. Now, apparently, driving a Tesla is like driving around with a Trump sticker. But that's not enough for some anti-musketeers. Those who have taken to vandalizing Teslas, setting them on fire, and wreaking havoc on dealerships, this is a golden opportunity for high-profile Democrats to speak up against this kind of violence and affirm the boundary between protests and crime. The silence, however, is deafening. Senator Cory Spartacus spoke for over 24 hours on the Senate floor last week. He said absolutely nothing about, failing to condemn violence. Of course, he said absolutely nothing at all. But instead, the most ardent defenders see burning of cars and as proportional, as, saving democracy. Last month, Democrats in the U.S. Senate blocked a resolution that would condemn the violence against Tesla owners and dealerships. Are Democrats that afraid to stand up to their radical base, or are they aligned with them? The love of violence has always existed on the left. What is necessary from the standpoint of those who care about democracy is not to excuse or permit it, regardless of what political justification is offered. And sadly, we're seeing this here in Kansas as well. Case in point, Representative Ford Carr. What happened in the Kansas House is a microcosm of what's going on nationally. Representative Carr is an aggressive and foul-mouthed embarrassment to the legislature. He physically assaulted one of his own colleagues, referred to another colleague as a House Negro, yet Democrats and leaders in the House, Democrat leaders in the House, and his fellow caucus members have endorsed and condoned his behavior by remaining silent. They should be ashamed of themselves. We all know how they would have reacted had a Republican behaved in the same manner. Yet his colleagues on the other side of the aisle remain silent. Hopefully, when they return to Topeka this week, they'll bring their backbones with them. But far too many in the media and on the left find this perfectly and legal and socially acceptable to tolerate this kind of behavior. Too many Democrats are sitting back and letting the violence happen while their party's most belligerent voices keep fanning the flames. Democrats desperately need to have a grown-up in the room, especially if they're hoping to have a reversal of fortune in 2028. We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach will update us on his recent successes in federal court and how Kansas is doing something to stand up and help immigration and customs enforcement. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. We're listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency is your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. Want to remind you as well about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys for unleashing prosperity for all. It's a great group of folks if you're looking for a way to get involved. There, I can recommend nobody else. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages. And you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We are very fortunate in Kansas to have a constitutional scholar and a true patriot fighting for us in the Attorney General's office, and we're thrilled to have him with us this evening. General Kobach, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Great to be with you, John, and I appreciate the I Fought the Law intro song. always appropriate.
Well, you know, I try to make them appropriate when I can. Yeah. That's like our Laura Kelly theme song, and you've got an appropriate one as well. So, General, I want to get to some of the successes, and you've had quite a few, but I do want to ask you, there have been a number of rulings of late from multiple federal district courts issuing these nationwide injunctions against the Trump administration. Numerous legal scholars are unable to pinpoint from which source these federal district courts derive the power to issue these nationwide injunctions. I'm just curious if you could weigh in. I mean, are these kinds of nationwide injunctions, these court orders, even legal?
Well, yes and no. It depends probably on the type of case. Like oftentimes when I was bringing cases against the Biden administration, when they were doing something blatantly illegal, we would ask the judge to vacate the rule. If they had some illegal regulation, which is called a rule, we would say vacate it, which means erase it. Well, that would have nationwide implications. But what often is happening is right now they're going to left-wing courts, the opponents of the Trump administration, and they're asking for a preliminary injunction, which is before you get to a final decision, to stop the rule, not just in the states that are present in the case, but all over the country. And it's right. There's no question that the judge has the power to temporarily stop a regulation in the states that are suing. The bigger question is, can they stop it everywhere? And the reason I say it's kind of a gray area is there are some regulations that, maybe have to do with aliens, for example, illegal aliens. And if you say, well, the judge agrees that what the Biden administration did is illegal, but I only have four states in front of me right now who are suing, I'm going to stop it in those four states, but the illegal aliens are free to do whatever they want in the other 46 states. You know, sometimes an argument can be made that in that situation, a nationwide injunction is appropriate. But I think the bottom line is it's been unfairly applied. So for example, usually when we would sue the Biden administration, we'd hopefully get a judge who's not an activist, a judge who's a constitutionalist, and that judge would use his power with restraint and give us an injunction only in the states that came before him. So a perfect example, I sued on behalf of a group of states to stop Biden's Title IX rule, which changed.
Right, I remember.
Yeah, and did that in front of Judge Brooms, federal district judge based in Wichita. He rendered a great decision, but he limited the decision to the parties in front of him, as a conservative judge would do, not exercising his power more than he clearly has the authority to do. If you go into San Francisco or you go into some liberal court in Hawaii, chances are the more left-leaning judges will see their own power as greater than it really is. And so that's why the left tends to seek and get these nationwide injunctions. And by the way, their cases are wrong from the get-go, but they'll get these injunctions to throw a wrench in the works until it can finally work its way up through the appeals. And that's a big difference. When we were bringing suits against Biden, we won, I want to say it's like 74-75% of them. The suits brought by the left against the first Trump administration and now this one, they're going to lose, and they did lose most of them. Back when during Trump's first administration, they're going to lose most of them now. But they nevertheless get a preliminary injunction that stops everything until the higher courts can rule and say, no, what the Trump administration did was perfectly legal. So I wish I could say an easy answer to that question, but there is a problem. And I think ultimately Congress needs to step in, because Congress does have the ability to restrict or expand the jurisdiction of the lower federal courts.
Well, and it is obvious that they're judge shopping. And the sad part here is they're doing it to defend the deportation of violent criminal illegals, which that's the sad part here. Along those same lines, General, Kansas, as I said in the intro, is one of the first states in the nation to deputize state law enforcement agents to work with ICE to remove criminal illegals from Kansas. I'm glad to see that we're taking the lead here. I'm just surprised that some other states haven't done the same.
Yeah, the two states that jumped out first were Texas and Kansas. My friend and compatriot, the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, jumped out. He got the drop on me, and we came in a couple days later. But his statewide agency has that authority, and now the Kansas Bureau of Investigation does. They essentially have the authority to act as ICE agents to determine the legal status of someone and take custody on behalf of ICE. It's a huge force multiplier if the greatest deportation effort our country has seen is going to succeed. And I'm hopeful that many sheriffs across our state will do it as well. We're seeing that in Texas. Lots of sheriffs are signing up for this authority. That was a big accomplishment as well. But, John, I do want to mention something that I think you were going to come to, and that is the real earthquake, truly amazing thing that happened in the legislature 2 weeks ago with the Supreme Court election.
So, yep, you know, that was the next issue.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring it up is we were just talking about runaway judges. And, you know, one of the reasons that federal judges can get away with doing these things, like some of these liberal left-leaning judges are doing, is they're tenured for life. They get on the court and then they can never be removed, short of impeachment, which is really, really hard to do. But similarly in Kansas, our Supreme Court has been a court that has legislated from the bench on a number of issues. The most notable would be school finance, has been very left-leaning on a number of issues. Abortion would be one of them. Any number of issues, though, really. The death penalty is another one where they've been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court time and time again. And they do it because there's no accountability. The judges have no fear of being non-retained, because retention elections are just fake elections. They're running against no one. And so the court has drifted so far to the left that I would say, as someone who's litigated in multiple state Supreme Courts, we have the second most left-leaning state Supreme Court, second only to California. It's really extraordinary. And this constitutional amendment that the legislature of Kansas passed 2 weeks ago is going to solve that problem, because it will make the Supreme Court of Kansas accountable to the people. We will get to elect our justices just like the good people of Sedgwick County get to do when they elect their district judges. And those justices will have to be accountable. If they write an opinion that's crazy and hard to defend and, you know, doesn't really square with the words of our Kansas Constitution, the voters will have a chance to pass judgment, and they will have to, you know, face the arguments of an opponent in a competitive election. And that change, I really believe, is the most consequential thing our legislature's done. And they've done a lot of great things in the last few years, but I would say the most consequential thing that the legislature's done in the last maybe 20 years, because it will affect all the other issues. And it's a really big deal. And I'm just very excited that my fellow Kansans and I will get to vote in August of next year on whether to amend our Constitution and elect our Supreme Court justices, which would be a tremendous improvement over the status quo.
We're talking with Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. You know, I remember one too long ago we were looking at another constitutional amendment. They value them both. And in that case, the proponents were outspent 2-1, 3-1, depending. All the vast majority of that money was out-of-state money. Are you expecting the lawyers, the ACLU, the Bar Association, to do the same kind of thing in opposition to this next August? I mean, you know, right now it's a very merit. They love to say it's merit-based, but it's really an elitist system. Are you expecting that same kind of out-of-state? I mean, look what they just spent in Wisconsin to elect that liberal Supreme Court justice. Are you expecting the same thing next time with these out-of-state liberal groups to come in and spend a bunch of money to try and kill this thing?
I do expect them to spend money. The ACLU for sure. The Trial Lawyers Association for sure. There probably will be some out-of-state money. But I do think the good side, our side, which wants to let the people vote, we'll be able to keep pace. I don't think they're going to be able to outspend us. There are a lot of concerned Americans who want to see courts become accountable, not be runaway courts that have no accountability to the people. And, you know, the other thing that's different between us and Wisconsin is Wisconsin's constitution requires that their Supreme Court elections be on a, you know, a strange day when no other elections are occurring. So they're the only show in town, and you've got all of this, you know, money both on the left and the right, all focused on Wisconsin because that's the big game. Well, our elections are going to be in the normal November election. So there'll be a Senate race on the ballot, a governor's race, an attorney general's race, a bunch of state legislative races. And it'll be in every state there will be something big happening on the ballot. So it's not like all of the national money would come rushing to one state, which is standing alone with a judicial election. You know, the other thing I would say as far as value them both, what the opponents to value them both did is they successfully confused the issue. They successfully...
Yes, for sure.
It was, the amendment language was perhaps not the best written. It was a little bit confusing. It was long. It was wordy. And, you know, the opponents were able to successfully confuse people and make them think it was a ban on abortion, which it was not. This amendment is only four sentences long. And, you know, it's very clear. The first sentence says, the citizens of Kansas who are qualified electors shall elect the Supreme Court justices. That's, it's so clear. You can't, you know, it's pretty clear. What, you know, I don't think anyone can confuse that. And, you know, in the polling on this issue, it already shows that 74% of Kansans would rather, and this is Republicans and Democrats combined, would rather elect their justices than do it the way we have right now with this, you know, commission that acts in virtual secrecy. You know, it's a of the lawyers, by the lawyers, for the lawyers. The lawyers elect the majority of the commissioners, and they have to be lawyers on the commission, the ones who are elected by the lawyers. It's really not a system that the people of Kansas control, and we want to have a system where the people of Kansas are in the driver's seat.
General, I've only got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you real quick. I saw a recent story about Act Blue. You know, it's their great way of, you know, dark money. The left, who's so opposed to dark money, they sure have a great way of funneling it. Laura Kelly was one of the recipients, one of the large recipients, $2 million or something. She was the second largest, rather, recipient of illegal campaign contributions. I've just got to ask. I mean, isn't that sort of like, you know, poetic justice? Of all people, it was Laura Kelly to be the second largest recipient.
It was interesting. You know, I will say this. I don't think Governor Kelly did anything to make that happen. But the way Act Blue appears to be doing this is they intentionally lower the security standards so that a person or a group can manipulate the system. And let's say somebody has already maxed out and has given $2,000 to a governor's candidate. They take that person's next $10,000 and divide it up into 50 different contributions. And those people whose names are being used don't even know that their names are being used for the contribution. And so that's why we had people in Kansas and people all over the country, you know, calling their state representative, calling the attorney general's office saying, hey, I just got this notification that I made a contribution to candidate so-and-so, and I never made any such contribution. So that's right. Where Act Blue seems to be, you know, they seem to, it seems like they're intentional. Maybe they're going to finally try to start, you know, closing these gaps, but they seem to have created a system where third parties can funnel huge sums of money using someone else's name. And that's what I and other attorneys general are looking at to see, you know, what violations of law may be occurring. And, of course, tracking down the evidence is also sometimes challenging in a case like this.
And they say Republicans are the only ones who cheat. But, General, I appreciate you as always, my friend. If folks want to connect, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, they can always go to chriskobach.com. They can go to @1787, which is my Twitter handle or X handle, I guess you call it. And if they wanted to see the official news of the agency, it's ag.ks.gov.
My friend, I appreciate you as always. Thank you again for joining us. Keep up the good work. And as always, give my regards to your wonderful family.
Will do. Good talking with you, John.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will preview next week's veto session. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit. There's a huge group of unruly so-and-sos down there, by the way. Thanks to our friends at Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back to the John Whitmer Show. I've had one too many margaritas already. Broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit. I'm halfway through my, what is it, Monte Cristo. I'm halfway through the Monte Cristo. I may have to go to another one. Thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. If you missed part of last week's episode, don't worry about it. We post clips from all our shows. We post single hours as well as the entire show in one audio file. Lets you choose lots to choose from. Just download the always free Odyssey app to get started. With us now, by the way, is our infamous, Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. That's going to be our last, probably our last. Maybe we'll do a full session wrap-up. I doubt it, though. That was our last Laura Kelly theme song for the year, Dan.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. Well, we may have to bring you back for one more. You guys go back for a veto session on Thursday.
Right.
You think you'd get it done in one day or probably two?
No, I think it'll be at least 2 days, but it's kind of, I got to tell you this little story. You know, we've got a Democrat that you and I both know that flicks her hair all the time. You know?
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. So Blake's girlfriend.
Yeah, so she texted me.
Oh, I just got a bird flown at me.
she texted me this last week and said, you know, how are we going to go Saturday? And I said, well, that depends on you guys. If you debate every override for an hour or more, then we're probably going to go into Saturday, you know. Yeah, so it's all up to you.
That's true.
It's totally up to you.
That's true.
So you tell me, how late are we going to go?
Yeah, and, you know, depending on who, if John Carmichael decides to pontificate for days on end.
Sure.
And some of the others on the other side of the aisle who love to go down and hear themselves preach. Yeah, it could go longer.
And I'm willing to go all day and all night Saturday to finish it up. If that's what they want to do, then we'll do it.
Well, and this was one of the first sessions in a long time. You didn't have a midnight session, so no. Who knows? Maybe they can admit that. Maybe they can this weekend.
Hell, if they take it long enough, those debates, we will stay late to hit that date or that time probably. So
she has already, she had a dump of vetoes on Friday. She had a couple early in the week. I'm assuming there are more to come, correct?
Yeah, there's more. So she did. She had six on Friday. Before we left, she had vetoed two, Senate Bill 5 and Senate Bill 14. And, of course, we'd already overridden two back during session.
Right.
So we've got eight sitting out there right now. I believe that we'll probably have some more tomorrow, probably some more on Tuesday, more on Wednesday. And actually, we could probably go clear up to Friday because of the time frame. If she ran it out 10 days, we could even have some come in Friday that we hadn't expected yet. So.
And how many do you think she'll do in the budget? Because that's a whole other section there.
Yeah, so we actually, Troy Waymaster, myself, and Kerry, my chief of staff, we went through all of the potential line item vetoes in the budget this last Friday. And I think she could do as many as 20, 25 line item vetoes.
So that could put you into the 30s.
Yeah, I would say, actually, we're probably going to be over 20, maybe 20 to 25 on the bills. Another 20 to 25.
Oh, my. So we're in the 40s.
Yeah, 40 to 50.
So that was my next question is, do you think you break her record of vetoes?
Absolutely.
So you break the record.
The record, though, the record really is how many have we done in one day, and that's nine. Both sides have overridden nine of her vetoes before. So I told Senator Masterson, even if we have to work late, we need to break that record.
So that's my next question. If she issues the most vetoes to break her record, do you think you'll overall break the record of overriding her most?
I would say so. John, this is the best caucus I've had in 13 years.
Wow.
This caucus sticks together pretty much through thick or thin. There's a few items that
Schreiber
we can't get.
And some of the others.
But there are a few issues that we can't get an override on. But out of, let's say she does 50, I bet you we can do 40, you know, that many.
Wow.
So it could be a fun week. It really could.
Are you guys going to give her like a golden pen with a plaque that says most vetoed governor in Kansas history or something? You should give her something.
I got one better for you. So Ty and I had, Senate President and I had a meeting with her. It's been probably a couple weeks ago now. I can't remember exactly when it was. But I have this pen, a nice, really beautiful pen with Speaker Hawkins on it that my wife got me for Christmas. And I took it with me to the governor's office to our meeting, and I said, Governor, this is my veto override pen. She didn't laugh. She did not find that funny.
I'm telling you, I think we should gild it, put it on a plaque, and give it to her. The most overridden governor in Kansas history. We're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. So then the next question is, you got all that going on. Any plans for any new legislation during? I mean, I know the problem with that is if you pass anything new, she can veto it and you can't try it.
Yeah, we won't have any new legislation. It's just, you know, we want to make sure that anything that we do right now, we can override. We were very specific in how we did our bills leading up so we could make sure that we could get a veto override on anything she would veto. The things that we didn't think that she would veto, we left those till later on in conference committee week, knowing that she's not going to touch them anyway. And quite frankly, she's let some become law without her signature that surprised the heck out of me. So, you know, you can't never tell what she'll do this next week. But I'm pretty sure we're going to have records on both sides.
I do have to ask you about something. You know, she does make you laugh. There are some things that she does that just kind of make you laugh. I saw that this week she recommended a special session.
Yeah.
You call special session in order to redo the budget. I guess she doesn't think you're spending enough. I got to ask, I mean,
What was your reaction when you saw that?
Well, that made me laugh, but what was really even funnier, or maybe sick in some demented sort of way, was her interview on KCUR this last week, where she just came out and just said that we not only did we need to come back for a special session, that our budget was lousy, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the interesting thing.
You spent
$42 million less than what her budget was, but yet our budget's bad. Now, ours didn't include boondoggles like Medicaid expansion, you know, some of those things that she wants. She wants to start these new programs that will just put us into bankruptcy faster. But we refused not to go there. You know, but we don't have a revenue problem. We had, as of the end of March for this fiscal year so far, which we're over almost three quarters of the way through, we're at $206 million more than what was anticipated, than what was projected. So we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem.
Yeah.
I've said that over and over and over again. Our problem is spending too much. And, you know, it happens every year. You know, everybody wants to take home the bacon to their districts. They want their little pet projects. And, you know, I literally, you know, we changed the process of budgeting this year. We no longer use or start out with the governor's
right.
budget. We have our own budget. And that has worked out phenomenally well. Now, she hasn't liked it. She hasn't liked it because she didn't get to put her imprint all over it. That's really what she's mad about. She can't really say that we did a bad job of budgeting. It's just not her budget.
Right.
So it's got to be bad because it's not her budget.
You don't think she's dumb enough to actually call a special? I mean, what does she think is going to change?
No, she's not going to call a special session. Actually, what she said was the legislature needs to ask me to call a special session.
Yeah, okay.
So they can come back in and redo the budget. She also said...
Think that's going to happen?
No. No. And she also said that while we're here on veto, we ought to relook the budget. No. The budget's a good budget. We spent $210 million less this year than we did last year. And last year, we used her budget.
Yeah, and I got news for her. If you guys actually did, you'd probably end up spending less.
Oh, absolutely. Because,
right.
I preached to our folks over and over and over again that we need to really get a hold of this spending. And although we didn't get it all done the way I would like, you know, there's pieces in there that I didn't like. And quite frankly, maybe she'll veto some of those things that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, she's not going to do something just for me. but I do think that if we were to come back in, we would spend even less.
That's my point. I think careful what you wish for, Gov.
Exactly.
If you went back to look at the budget again, she'd probably get less money.
Absolutely.
So I think
there's
you're
no
absolutely
doubt.
Right. Dan, if folks want to connect with you, if they want to subscribe to the Majority Report, which is your newsletter, what's the best way for them to do that?
Go to danhawkinskansas.com. That's the landing page. Go to the bottom and you can sign up for my newsletter. If you're not getting the Majority Record, you should
record.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be getting it. It's distributed every Friday morning at 6, except during this last week. We had a hard time getting it out by 6 Friday morning. We didn't get it out until Saturday because we were working, you know, solid, getting things done. But normally it's out at 6 a.m. on Friday mornings, and it goes clear across this state. So
any announcements you want to make?
No, we've had some people that have made announcements already, but, you know, I'm sure there's more to come, John.
Yeah, I've asked you that twice now.
Yeah.
And I know there's an announcement coming. You're just not willing to do it with me yet.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to finish up this session
and
get things done, you know.
You've become quite the politician. Dan, I appreciate you as always. Love you, brother.
Thanks, John.
We'll take a quick break. Studio lines are open. We see who may wander in from the fire pit while we're sitting around here. Thanks again for tuning in. We're at the Delperdang Fire Pit. Thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Tyrus, he's coming back on the show in 2 weeks. So welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. Also want to remind you about my friends at Americans for Prosperity. There's a great community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.com, .org, and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget the couple of events coming up later this month on the 24th. A Night at the Drive, the Daily Wire movie Identity Crisis, showing at the Starlight Drive-In, sponsored by Turning Points USA at WSU, and the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party on the 17th is their speaker is General Michael Flynn. So speaking of speakers, I've got a familiar voice to anybody who listened to country music here in town. Dan Dillon was on KFDI.
That's right.
And I pulled you up from the fire pit.
I was down there by the fire pit. I live two houses away from Leo.
So you're a neighbor of Leo Delpadre.
That's right. And Leo said that this big soiree was going on tonight and that you were broadcasting live. And I thought, well, I'll come down and say hello. I wasn't planning to be on the radio with you, John.
Well, but I appreciate it. You know, my wife is a country music. She loves listening to country music. I'm sure she recognizes the voice.
Well, so. I hope she. I did news at KFDI for 34 years and was the news director. And you work
for my buddy Mark Bennett. Yes, love Mark. Was a constituent of mine when I was in the legislature. Always used to have one of my yard signs in his yard. I love Mark. Does a great job. Fantastic DA. So
Mark took over in January of 2013. And
our sponsor for the evening, John Eck, happened to pop in.
Oh, okay. So well, you got to say hello to the sponsor.
You got. Remember who you know pays the bills.
That's right. So, you sure do.
And our host, Leo Delpadre, is sitting here with us with our mayor, who's on next. She'll be with us to kick off top.
That's
of the
right.
Hour,
I feel like I'm taking a little bit of Mayor Wu's time away.
She's on at 8. Trust me. She'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Okay. She knows what she's doing too. Trust me. You and I. She knows what she's doing. I don't even have to prep her. I mean, she could run circles around me on this thing. Trust me. So, I mean, you like working for the DA's office?
Yes, it's an interesting job. It started out as media coordinator, which means that if the news media calls wanting information about a case, a trial, or something like that, I give them that. They want to interview Mark Bennett. I set those up.
See, I just call him directly. So
there you
know,
go.
Well, that's why I've never had to call you.
I just call him
on his cell phone and say, "Hey, Mark, you want to come on the show?"
That's right. That works out well. There's only just a handful of people that can do that.
Yeah, you know. it doesn't mean he calls me back. But,
I see. Yeah, it's a one-way call.
I didn't say he ever called me back. I just said that's how I do it. And, you know, somebody, eventually I get back to, he gets back to me through it.
He's a great guy. It's the reason I'm there. I've been there now for 12 years, and just a wonderful guy. Cares a lot about the community, cares a lot about crime victims, and works hard to make sure they're treated correctly.
Yeah, they've got I recently saw another report with their consumer department. You guys do a lot of work. People think DA, it's the prosecution, but you've got a whole wing there that all they do is work on consumer stuff and
that's
helping
right.
advocate for businesses and people, you know, and that's a whole other wing that he has to deal with that I don't think people realize.
You're right, and it's getting larger and larger, more scams out there all the time.
Yeah.
So it's quite a deal. But, John, thank you very much for letting me come on and talk to you.
Enjoy the cigars and the camaraderie down there. Save me one of the Cuban cigars that are down there.
I like the camaraderie, not the cigars.
And I'm the other way. I like the cigars and not so much of the Delpadre. Stick around. Mayor Lily Wu will be with us. You're listening to John Whitmer Show. Be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delpadre Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We We have a very special guest. I love the opportunity to have extended conversations. By the way, I also have been told to have you look down at the fire pit. Apparently, you have a fan club down there wearing their Lily Woo for Mayor t-shirts. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a crowd. This group, you just never know what you're going to get with this group. So with us now is Wichita Mayor Lily Woo. Yeah,
thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, they're crazy. What can I say? With us now is Wichita Mayor Lily Woo. Madam Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Hi, John.
Let's start the antics down here. I cannot excuse them. I cannot explain them. You just have to let them do their
thing.
Very
good.
Let me kind of start with Wichita City Manager Robert Layton announced he plans to retire at the end of the year. His last day will be December 31st. You know, Bob's been with us a long time. I would say a mixed bag. His you know, job performance, some good things, some bad things. Overall, I think a lot of folks are saying, you know, I'm glad to have he's been here. He's done a lot of good. Also, at the same time, glad to give us the opportunity to move on and whatever direction we end up going. Wouldn't you kind of agree with that?
You know, the last time that we searched for a city manager in the city of Wichita was back in 2008. So let's remind ourselves how long that was.
Yeah.
And so that process in itself, we as a council haven't even looked at, which is why on Tuesday we will be talking about the process itself. We just got a couple of documents on Friday about how it worked in 2008, as
right.
well as how they chose the new police chief, Sullivan. So those are going to be topics we'll be talking about and really discussing in full on Tuesday. So I always encourage people, please come out to these city council meetings. They begin at 9 a.m. and this topic will likely be around 10:30 a.m. And this will be an opportunity for A, learning about the process and how it worked in 08, but also how it can be carried out here in 2025. And I think it's very important because the city of Wichita has a lot of momentum. There's a lot of good that's happening in our community, from the new Wichita Biomedical Campus to all the things that are happening with economic development. Now, we do need a city manager who takes care of the 3,000 employees for the city of Wichita to be someone that is a professional. And I believe that City Manager Layton has done that for
yes.
the past 16 years.
Yep.
He always talks about his 3,000 member staff. And in our form of government, which is a council manager government, it is really important that people understand that this type of government system is where the council establishes city policies by majority vote. And in this case, it's 4 out of 7 people. And then they direct the city manager to carry out that policy. And the city manager, though, oversees, again, his 3,000 members. So when you look at our form of government, and I have these handouts that I've been giving out to people, the 7 electeds represent the people of Wichita, but the city manager is not elected by the people.
No, yep.
And so, really, this is an opportunity to just discuss how our local government works. And I think a lot of folks don't even know that. I often get questions about, why did you not do this with a certain staff member? Or why did you do this with a certain department?
They don't work
and
for you.
They don't.
No.
And in reality, it takes 4 people on the council for anything to carry forward. And a lot of folks don't know that. For instance, the $660,000 bathrooms were voted on by a majority of the council.
You voted
3
no, by the way.
3 people voted against it.
Yep.
Myself, Councilmember Glasscock, and Councilmember J.B. Johnston. So the 3 of us voted not in favor of those bathrooms, but it still moved forward because 4 people voted in favor. Well, in this situation, our council manager type of government, which is also the same exact government in Kansas City, Missouri, but in that situation, the mayor in Kansas City has veto power. Here in Wichita, the mayor does not have veto power.
Right.
So I could not have voted or said, I want to exercise my veto power to not move forward with the bathrooms outdoors. So in this situation, those bathrooms are right now getting carried out in downtown Wichita, despite the fact that 3 of us voted not in favor of it. And so we really should have a conversation about what is the role of mayor, what type of powers does the mayor currently have, understand what those are. Because in our form of government right now, I have no veto power. I am only 1 council member vote. So my vote counts equally to
the
other
people don't realize
members.
You're literally just another member. Yes, you chair the meetings, but beyond that, you really are just another city. You're essentially an at-large city council member, and it's. I don't think people realize that. I minored in public administration at KU when I got my BA in, I say BA in BS, I got a BA in political science, and you posted on social media earlier this week that you thought it might be a time to look at this because our city manager does play an outsized role as, in particular, and this is the key part, an unelected leader of our city. And he doesn't actually have any direct accountability to the people. And I think that's a very important point. And whether or not we go to a strong mayor or whether – because that could be problematic. I mean, Lord knows we wouldn't have wanted Brandon Whipple to be, you know, Mayor Daley from Chicago. But at the same time, maybe putting in some veto powers or looking at a little more checks and balances to our mayor might not be a bad idea.
Can I give you one more example?
Yeah, sure.
So in Kansas City, Missouri, the mayor has a staff of 11 people. And the mayor is very visible. The mayor here in Wichita has one person that helps with scheduling, helps with
but not even a chief of
emails.
Staff.
Or, no, yeah. Absolutely not. So I don't even have that individual. So the mayor in Kansas City has a chief of staff, a deputy of staff, a director of communications, a lawyer, and several staff members. I don't have any of those things, but I have tried my very best to be the most visible and accessible mayor for the city of Wichita. As a matter of fact, I just came, before coming here, visiting with a group from Orléans, France. The city of Wichita has four sister cities, and Orléans happens to be one of them. They have such a strong relationship with Wichita because our soldiers helped liberate Orléans, France. That history should be told and shared with the rest of the community. And so I'm so grateful that as mayor, I'm able to connect with people from all across, not just our city, our state, our country, but outside of the walls of the United States to help put Wichita on the map. That's the role of mayor. As the mayor of Wichita right now, when I don't have veto power and I'm just one council member and I'm really just a person that helps carry out the meetings on Tuesdays, my role really is to be the ambassador and connector for the city of Wichita. So I love that role. I love to be able to share the good that's happening in Wichita, and there's a lot of good. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to celebrate the 75th anniversary of Cowtown. Wichita's history should be told.
Yeah.
Wichita's history should be preserved and also shared. So I'm so grateful to the volunteers that go out to Cowtown and make sure that Wichita's history is never forgotten. And there's something about the grit of Wichitans that I love so much, because as a first-generation American, I can tell you I am so grateful every morning to wake up in the United States of America, and I'm truly lucky to live in Wichita, Kansas, because truly anything is possible here. And I want to share that with our next generation, because I do believe that they're hungry for inspiration and goodness in this world. And there is more goodness than the evil that can really take over the airwaves or even social media.
Trust me, I know, and you've been facing a lot of that lately. I want to ask you about that. One more question on the city manager search. I know you're looking at an extensive search. You're going to look at, you know, I'm sure nationwide. Have you ever thought, or has the council thought about holding off the hiring itself? I mean, obviously, you do the search, start the vetting process, which could take months, I'm sure. But keep in mind that Brandon Johnson will be gone. He's termed out, fortunately. Maggie Ballard might be gone. She could lose her election. Same for Hohassel. He could be gone if I do my job as chair of the Republican Party. Either way, you could theoretically have three new people on the city council. Has the council thought about maybe holding off and letting the new council actually do the hiring?
You know, this is still very premature. As you know, City Manager Layton announced his retirement on Wednesday, and I wanted to make sure that we have an open and public conversation
Good.
As soon as possible.
That's important.
So Tuesday we'll finally have that conversation out in the public sphere, and we need to have that. I've been working with the city manager for over a year now, and we've been talking about his retirement for months now. So I'm so glad that he was able to share his accomplishments as well as what his vision is moving forward. And I told him that the next city manager for the city of Wichita will be part of his legacy. And we need someone that will be able to, again, carry out the policies that the city council as a majority wants to move forward. And a city manager that really takes care of taxpayer dollars, makes sure that he truly, he or she respects those taxpayers, that we take care of the core services and really focus on the core services. And at the same time, being able to make sure that Wichita continues to be on the trajectory to be the best city in America to live, work, and raise a family. And so I really believe that the next city manager will be someone that this city manager will have a hand in with our council that's elected by the people. So when you ask, should the three individuals that are up for election this year, which are districts 1, 3, and 6, should they have a say in that? My personal opinion is that you currently have a council that was elected by the people.
Yep.
And I am grateful that I was elected by the entire city of Wichita. Each of the council members are elected by their district. So they should still be voting how their district believes. And so I will have that conversation on Tuesday. I will give my opinion, but at the same time, remember, it takes four of us to move anything forward.
That's
so
true.
Even if I wanted something, I still would need three other individuals that wanted the same thing. I think that really what we need to think about is the management of the city of Wichita is by a city manager or a city administrator who really takes care of those employees who are part of the public sector. The electeds need to continue being the ones that represent the people of Wichita.
That's a good way of looking
at it. And so I think that the way our form of government currently works, the council manager form of government, is the same exact one as Kansas City, Missouri. And I think that there's value in that. But I do believe that we need to reevaluate what is it that you want from your mayor, who is elected by the entire city, not by one specific district. So I have to represent the majority of the citizens of Wichita. So I can't be on the fringes and just representing a fringe group, but rather I represent the majority. And majority tells me that they want us to focus on public safety. They want us to focus on the core services. They want us to make sure that streets don't have all these potholes. They want to make sure that when they turn on the faucet, the water is actually running and it's
right.
Clean drinking water. And when they flush the toilet, that it actually is going to the sewer system and it's going there properly.
Well, and they want you to focus on the budget deficit, which is anywhere from, I mean, I've heard any low as $3 million to $9 million, which actually leads me to the last question. And I don't want to belabor the point, and I know we're coming up on a break, but I got to ask you about the, I'm going to call it what it is, nonsense, the distractions. I mean, keep in mind that the whole Trans Day proclamation was initiated by your opponent, the former mayor's campaign manager. So we knew what this was. It was a gotcha question. It was designed, and guess what? It worked. Let me put it to you in this way. I think the proclamation, the whole process should be changed. It's not transparent. I don't like the way you guys respond with an email that's secret. You want to find out how someone votes, they got to file a CORA request. I understand you've had, 9 ethics complaints, which is also bullpucky. I'll just leave it to you. How do you respond to all this stuff? You know, you talked about Orleans. You talked about all the good things. This is such a distraction. It has to be.
So I can tell you that today I started my day going to church at New Spring, and it revives me every single week hearing the word from God. And then after that, I had the opportunity to go visit the Orleans team at the Old Central Library. But then what I had to do during the afternoon was respond to the ethics complaints. There are 9 of them. 7 of them have to be responded to by tomorrow. So that's what I was working on. Instead of actually helping our city move forward with priorities,
right.
I have
budget
to spend time.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
And so this is a distraction to our city. As I said, I did not vote and I would not vote for this proclamation, but I yielded the floor to the individuals who voted in favor. Again, those individuals are the ones who were passionate about this proclamation, including Council Members Tuttle, Johnson, Hoheisel, as well as Ballard. they were passionate about this, so I yielded the floor. I gave my rights to the individuals who cared about this to read the proclamation. I did not vote for it, but I also did not refuse to sign it. And that is a very big distinction. I did not refuse or decline to sign it, but I did not vote for it. And so the ethics complaints center around that specific wording of refusing or declining. And I know my role as mayor. My role as mayor is to, again, be the ambassador of this community. And when a proclamation is signed, not physically by pen and paper, but rather by a stamp or
an
electronic
signature. Joe Biden did it for 4 years.
I did not ask for my signature to be removed. And again, this is really sad that I have to spend the time to do this, but I respect the ethics board. And so I'm spending the time to answer to each of these complaints, but I could be using that time to really help the city. We have issues on crime, on streets, on economic development and homelessness. But when I am tied down to do things like responding to ethics complaints, and this is now the third topic of ethics complaints, this is taking away from the time to get results for the city of Wichita. Yeah. And I'm about results, and I want to make sure that the city knows that as mayor, I campaigned on public safety, on growing this economy, on restoring trust in City Hall, and uniting this community. And we are all Wichitans, and we care about Wichita. And so I'm going to continue focusing on the good. There's lots of good in our community, and I will continue to work hard for the city because I know that we have a budget deficit, and these are real things that are happening in our city that need attention. So while I have to answer to some of these ethics complaints, I will continue to work hard for the city.
My response to all of this is haters going to hate. And this is what it seems like to me. This whole proclamation is, it looks nakedly partisan. It looks like what it was the former mayor trying to get a dig in. The guy just got fired from his job, so he obviously needed something to do with his free time. Lily, I appreciate you. I love what you're doing. I think you're doing an admirable job. I think you're doing a yeoman's job. And most importantly, you're focused on the big issues and the things that matter. This kind of stuff doesn't matter, and I wish the folks would give you the opportunity, the chance to really do what you need to be doing instead of wasting time on, $600,000 shitters and things that don't matter. So if folks want to reach out to you, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Please reach out to me. I am available. Whether you see me out in the public, please come and say hi, but also on social media. I'm active on social media because I know that that's one way to communicate. But another way to communicate is simply by emailing me, lwu@wichita.gov. You can also find my email at wichita.gov/citycouncil. And I want you to connect not just with me, but the council member who represents your district. Because if you copy that individual and you also email me, that council member will then hear from real constituents about what you care about.
That's a great idea.
And so not just email me, but please also copy that council member.
That's a great idea. Lily, again, best of luck. Keep up the good work. I guarantee you the folks out here at the fire pit are behind you, and so are my listeners as well. So keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, John.
You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency is your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app and or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Representative Pat Proctor is a retired U.S. Army officer who entered the Kansas legislature in 2020. Earlier this week, he launched a campaign for the Republican nomination for Secretary of State. He's from Leavenworth. He serves as chairman of the Kansas House Elections Committee. If elected in November of next year, he would become the state's top elections administrator. The position would be open, assuming Secretary of State Scott Schwab continues with his plan to seek the GOP nomination for governor. Pete, thank you for joining us. It's Pat, excuse me. Thank you for joining us. Congrats. Nice to have you back on the show again, brother.
Thanks for having me back, and I'm sorry I can't be there at the fire pit with you. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, you know about half the people here. A couple of them, more than a couple of them, are colleagues of yours, including our host this evening. So you're tired of the house already, are you?
No, I've been the chair of the elections committee for 3 years, and I was on the committee 2 years before that. We've gotten a lot of stuff done on the elections committee, especially this year, you know, with like citizens only voting and doing away with 3-day grace period. So election day is election day. We really, really, really need to have the right person in the chair there in the Secretary of State's office to make sure that we continue the progress on restoring confidence in our elections, and we don't have the wrong person in there that, you know, tearing it down.
You guys did. I mean, I served on elections when I was a freshman in the legislature, and you guys did a lot this year. I'm actually impressed with how much you were able to accomplish this session. You mentioned a couple of them. Getting foreign money out of Kansas elections was another one. I think ending the waiting period is one of the major ones, because that thing has been such a, I've never understood, you know, Florida can not only do their elections, they've got 6 million, something like that, in their population, but then they can get their results done in the same day, too. And here we are in Kansas waiting sometimes 2-3 weeks to get legitimate election results. I've never understood that. Part of the problem is the mail-in ballot nonsense, and I'm glad to see that you guys finally put an end to that.
Yeah, and I can think of nothing more corrosive to voter confidence than vote counts that continue to change for days after the election.
Right.
Except maybe ranked choice voting, which we also banned this year. Having a vote count method that requires a two-page explainer to explain to voters. That's pretty corrosive to voter confidence, too. I'm really excited about some of the stuff that we've gotten done this year. And like I said, we need the right person in the chair to continue the work.
Another thing I'd love to see get rid of is drop boxes. I've never been a fan of those. It's one of the few areas that me and Scott Schwab actually disagree on is the drop boxes. Maybe it's just because I'm a skeptic. I don't trust them. I never really have. And I don't think maybe during COVID they were necessary. Now I don't think they are. But I'm just old-fashioned. I vote on election day. I always have. And I just like to see us. Let's just go to, election day is a federal holiday. Everybody gets a day off, and you go vote in person. But that's just me. I'm kind of old-fashioned. Let me ask you this. Why? I mean, you got a nice cushy gig in the House. You just got a pay raise. You're chairman of a committee. Why do you want to? Because now you're going to have to run. It's statewide. So you got to, trust me, I've driven the bus on the last two governor's races. I've had to do a statewide race now twice. It is no fun. Now you want to do a statewide race. Are you just a glutton for punishment? Yeah. Is that it?
John, I spent 25 years in the Army.
By the way, thank you for your service.
It's an honor to serve. I'd do most of it again. place like Iraq and Afghanistan, and when you're serving in the military, you're serving the nation. And so I guess theoretically, everybody you see in the United States, you're serving them. But this last 5 years serving in the legislature, I really know everybody I'm serving, and when I'm sitting down to vote, I know how those votes affect folks. And, this problem that we have in the state and the country with voter confidence, this is a threat to our form of government, our way of life. And I really think that we need the right person in the Secretary of State's office. There's a lot of folks out there, several of them have floated their name for this job, that are not about restoring voter confidence. They're about eroding voter confidence for political gain. And I think that's dangerous right now. I think we need folks that are focused on the right things, that are focused on, engaging people that have concerns. And where those concerns come from a lack of understanding, we improve transparency so that everybody can see the process. But where those concerns are real vulnerabilities, because there are still vulnerabilities in our election system, it's secure, but it's not impregnable. It's a human system. If there are vulnerabilities, we need to address them. And I think that's kind of the approach we should be taking. And that's why I've decided to throw my hat in the ring.
I haven't heard, I've heard of a few other folks who are thinking about it. I saw an announcement from the former chair of the Kansas Republican Party, Mike Brown, who ran for Secretary of State 4 years ago against Scott Schwab, and he lost. Are there other people who've kind of toyed with it? I've not heard of any other names.
The person you just mentioned has had a banner on his Facebook page a couple times, so I don't know if he's just trolling it or he's actually going to jump in. But that would concern me. That would concern me having him in that chair. So, and that's really, frankly, if I'm 100% honest with you, what made me finally take the leap and throw my hat in the ring. It is really crucial right now. We're starting to make progress. 3 years ago, I think it was, Hay State University had a poll. Nearly half of Kansans didn't believe that the results of our election reflect their will. I think it's starting to turn around. I can't wait to see what that next poll says. But, the last thing we need to do is go backwards by, putting a bomb thrower in the Secretary of State's office who's going to go around telling us that it's all rigged and, take us back to 3 years ago.
No, I think people in Kansas have trust and faith in our elections. I will say I'm with you. I mean, looking at the way Mike Brown ran the Kansas Republican Party into the ditch, I obviously now saying this, he's not going to come on this show, but then again, he wouldn't anyway. So, if that's your opponent, I think you're probably going to be just fine, brother.
He started his time as chair of the Republican Party with $150,000 and ended with $7,000. So imagine what he could do with the Secretary of State's office.
I'm just going to leave that right there. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to want information, most importantly, if they want to donate, what's the best way for them to get information, to connect with you, and to get involved, my friend?
Yep. So my website hasn't changed from when I was in the house race. It's Pat Proctor, spelled with an O-R, the number 4KS for Kansas, .gov. So Pat Proctor for Kansas.com.
Pat, I wish you all the best, my friend. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. We have, I'm sure, I mean, you'll be up there for at least in Topeka for another session next year as well, and I'm sure we'll be talking before then. But best of luck, my friend, as you start off on this new adventure as well.
Thank you, and yeah, don't forget the veto session. I'm going to be real busy because she's going to veto just about everything we've done.
Yeah. Dan gave us a bit of a preview earlier, and I'm sure you guys will be busy as well. Keep up the good work, and best of luck, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on.
We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330, and we'll see who we might be able to rustle up for our next segment. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Eck Agency, your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. We'll be back right after this. To the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pits. Thank you, our friend at Eck Agency, John Eck. Eck Agency is your independent insurance agency. Reach out for a quote today. And, of course, don't forget our friends at Americans for Prosperity, AFP. Great folks. If you're looking for a way to get involved, they are a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, if you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, coming up on the 17th is the next meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Their guest will be a Zoom call with General Michael Flynn. And on the 24th, Turning Points USA at WSU will be hosting a night at the drive-in featuring the Daily Wire movie Identity Crisis, showing at the Starlight Drive-In. Information on both of those events can be found on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Well, we grabbed our host, Leo Delperdang, and State Senator Michael Fagg from El Dorado. You know, what's funny is I used to think of it as El Dorado, yeah, because I lived in Colorado for a few years, and then somebody had to point out to me, if you call it El Dorado, they'll think you're not a Kansan.
They'll think you're not an El Dorado.
Yeah, that's right. You're not from Kansas, right, if you call
it's
El Dorado.
It's kind of like that river that runs through the town. How do you pronounce that, John?
I'm sorry, it's the Arkansas. If you're from Kansas, and everywhere else in the world, it's the Arkansas. So. First off, let me thank Leo. Thank you for hosting us. It's, you know, every time you guys do this fire pit, this Mike, this guy, he'll text out this notice. We're doing a fire pit. Let's do it. We're going to do it Sunday night. And, of course, I'm on the air, and I think they do it on purpose.
Well, I was going to say, you might take the hint eventually, John.
Oh, I took the hint, which is why I'm here. See, this is my way of saying, to heck with you guys. You keep doing it, I'm just going to keep broadcasting from your backyard.
No,
so
I'm really glad you're here. It's been a good one.
It's been a blast.
Good turnout tonight.
You had the best turnout you've ever had.
You bet.
Thanks to me.
Just because of you. Yeah.
Mike, is this the first one you've been able to come to?
Man, it's the first one I've been invited to.
Now,
which is an honor. It's an honor to be on your show, too.
Well,
so I got a lot of good things going on.
I remember. I do voice work occasionally for campaigns. I remember I did a radio commercial for you when you for your first campaign.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you.
Well, don't thank me. Yeah. I was just trying to help get you elected. Yeah. That was that big year that we had to win a bunch of seats.
Yes,
you've gone through one cycle, so now you're an old vet, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about that, but you learn something new every day.
That's true.
So are you in your fifth year now?
We just finished my fifth year. And
the time flies.
Yeah. So Leo's chairman of utilities on the House side. I'm chairman on the Senate side for utilities.
Yeah. And I'll just put a plug in for you right now, Mike, because he is absolutely wonderful to work with.
Is he?
We get along real good. You bet.
I think we do. try to do a lot of good stuff for Kansas, don't we, Leo? So.
Are you, I mean, are you pleased with what you were able to pass out? I know what was interesting for me this session, the biggest thing that was interesting for me this session was actually listening to, because usually Dan and Ty are pretty much on the same page. This was a fascinating session because, particularly on the tax bills, both chambers were so diametrically opposed, and when I would talk to Dan, he would say, hell no, we're not taking their bill. And I'd ask Ty, and he'd say, hell no, we're not taking their bill. And in the end, they really kind of didn't in many ways.
Yeah, but same token, I've got to say, we are up there working for a common goal.
Yes.
We have got to fix the property tax issue. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yes.
And this year, I too have really dug into it because I never understood before. What are the components that make up your property tax? And until you understand all of the components there, you cannot fix it.
Well, one thing I keep telling people, and I'm sure, I mean, especially you're from a more rural area, people don't realize, a lot of people get mad, and it's a dang legislature. No, the bulk of that is your schools and your cities and your counties.
That's right.
It's not the state legislature, because almost 20 or 19 of the mills is going back to the schools anyway from the state.
Absolutely. And I know, John, I've had times when people had asked me about that. I'd say that you need to understand that with it going back locally, we did SB 13, that transparency law here
right.
a couple of years ago. And when you get your little card in the mail, that's your chance to go down and do something about it. So whenever I get asked about property taxes, that's the first thing I bring up. Did you get your card, and did you go down and do your part?
Right.
So that's the approach that we need to take. That's a local issue. So
it's going to be interesting to see how these municipalities start. You know, I'm hoping at some point, obviously you're not going to get it done this year, but maybe next year we can look at doing something about valuations, because I think that's where it's going to have to – at some point, we're going to have to do something there. I don't know if it's the cap. I don't know if it's, but I think at some point we have to do something to address that.
It's a three-legged stool. Remember that when we was talking about three-legged
yes.
stool, but it does not center around valuations, because if we come through and cut your property value in half, what happens when the county and the schools and all that go out and increase their mill
exactly,
levies?
Exactly.
It's the same dollar.
You have to do it to everybody.
We've got to focus on the overall spending and do reverse
That's true.
Math to come back
That's
to
true.
The mill levies and the valuations yep. in order to fix it.
Well, and it's the same thing with tax cuts. I mean, we cut all the taxes that we wanted. This was the mistake with the Brownback. And you and I weren't in there when they did the Brownback
right.
tax cuts. But you know, that was the problem with the Brownback tax cuts. You can't cut taxes if you don't cut spending. And, I mean, to your credit, you guys cut, what, it was 200 or some, Blake Carpenter sent me the note on it. You cut
something like
$1 billion.
We cut a bunch. But this year, and you probably heard it earlier on the show, but we did it differently this year. Instead of coming in there and eventually getting the budget from the governor's office, and then you tweak here and there on it.
Right.
We came together early on, and my hat's off to the tax chair and the tax team there. They did a remarkable job, but to put it together from scratch, and it did save a substantial amount of spending. They were on every one of us to help curb the spending issues. I sit on one of the budget committees for transportation and safety budgets. I mean, we get some big ones. Department of Transportation, for example, that's about a $1.2 billion with a B budget there. But to go through there and start cutting the excess out of there. What do we need to make this thing work? Because if we don't, by like 2029, we were running out of money.
Yeah,
we've got to fix it.
In the end, you guys cut $1.47 billion, which was a 5.4% cut.
Yeah.
That's a significant cut.
It is.
And yet, you're still going to have to do more, because I know in the out years, you're showing a deficit. Now, you know, in the out years, who knows where you're going to be.
Right.
Because you're already, as Dan mentioned, you're already, what, revenue numbers for March were already a couple hundred million over estimates. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know where you're going to be in the out years. But still, it's nice to see you're cutting at the same time that you're cutting taxes. Because if you don't cut the spending, then you're really digging a hole.
If you don't cut the spending, you're just playing.
So whatever got you, just to be not talking all about you know, legislators, or whatever prompted you to start doing these anyway? Because, by the way, you got your invite. This is your first invite?
It is.
They were doing these for like a year before they started inviting me. Yeah, so don't think that, you know.
So we're kind of new to the party, aren't we, John?
Yeah, we've done this for years. And it's just one of the things. I enjoy the setting. You know, it's at this non-disclosed location.
Yes, non-disclosed.
But we're sitting on a small lake, and just it's fun watching the ducks and the geese out here, and we have a big fire going, and it's just the camaraderie. It's a way of discussing what goes on, you know, where are we going from here?
And, you know, the number one rule, I don't know if they told you the number one rule, is what happens at the fire pit
stays
at the fire pit. So, yeah. And there have been a lot of...
He was probably going to tell me that before I went home.
Yes. Yeah. And have you done the secret, you know, they brand you with that secret, like the TV show Yellowstone? Yeah. They'll brand you on your way out.
Well, I need to sneak out of here.
Yeah. He's still learning the secret handshake.
Yeah, you got. There's a whole test. Yeah. Don't worry, there's a test. Yeah. They do that later. Yeah. So. But no, this has been a blast, and we'll have to do it again. I do appreciate you having us, and you know, it was great. One of the things was having John Eck, our sponsor for tonight, having him come. I don't think John's come to one of these before.
No, I don't think so. Hopefully he'll come back.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and you know, some of the other misfits who've shown up tonight, our county clerk, Kelly Arnold, was here. In fact,
I think he's still here.
Kelly Arnold is still here.
He's still here.
He's still here.
By the fire.
Sitting there, he's roasting weenies.
And it's always great to see it's great to see Lily. She showed up.
Yes,
and
the mayor.
Wonderful talking to her. I'm so proud of what she's done so far.
And I got to be honest with you. I'm so tired of the haters. And you know, look. If they had legitimate complaints, it'd be different. But this is beyond. This is just hating to hate at this point. And it's blind hatred, and I'm just tired of it. So. Leo, again, thank you for having us. Thank you for hosting us. Please express my thanks to your lovely wife who puts up with this massive crowd.
I shall do that.
I appreciate it. Again, folks, don't forget the couple of events coming up, the great events that we've got coming up at the next weekend. By the way, 2 weeks, we've got Tyrus back with us. So in the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.